This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
I'm Matt. I'm one of the leaders here at Leeds Vineyard, and you're really, really welcome, whether you've been here for ages or this is your first time. It's lovely to see you. So this morning we're going to be talking on the theme of invitation. It's something that we've been dipping in and out of over the last year, and it's something that we're going to be looking at on and off over the year to come. Now, before I continue, I thought we should start with a bit of light entertainment. So here's hoping that the media works.
I'll be inside in a minute. I'm going to say hey to Joe. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Mike.
Flower beds are looking good, neighbor.
Yep. You guys just get back from church?
Ah, yeah. I just been at the church house.
I wonder why he never invites me to church. I mean, I'd go if he asked me to go. But this is the way it is. I'm out in my front yard when he comes home from church. It's always so awkward.
It's so awkward, and I'm so hungry. Ugh. I think my wife made goulash. I love goulash. Oh, maybe Joe would like some goulash for lunch. Hey, Joe.
Here comes the invitation to church.
Yeah?
You want to come over for
goulash? Sure, I'd love to go to church with you.
What'd you just say?
You said something about God.
Goulash.
You're having goulash at your church?
No, at my house.
You're inviting me over for goulash?
Yeah.
Yeah, who doesn't like goulash? I'd like some goulash. Yeah, sign me up. Goulash.
I'll check and make sure we have enough.
I see you walking away.
Well, hopefully you'll agree with me that's probably not the best way to invite to church. Now, when I was preparing for this talk, I was reflecting on how such a simple question can seem so complicated and overwhelming. Would you like to come to church with me on Sunday? Would you like to come to a small group with me on Thursday? Would you like to come with me to Alpha on Monday? Such a simple and short sentence, and yet seemingly so hard for many of us to get out of our mouths, me included. But just imagine if even more of us managed to invite. What a life-changing moment that could be for the people that we did manage to invite. When I was thinking about this subject of invitation, I was thinking about what an enigma it is in inviting, how it can be so simple but yet so hard. I watched a while ago the film The Imitation Game. I have to not get confused with my title. The film with Benedict Cumberbatch, another great Benedict Cumberbatch film, where he plays Alan Turing and the codebreakers at Bletchley Park. And sorry, spoiler alert, stick your fingers in your ears if you haven't watched the film and you want to watch it. But as many of us know, they managed to break the code of the German war machine, the Enigma, and thereby helping to turn the tide of the war, amongst other factors, and bringing eventual victory. And for me, I was thinking about how, in a similar fashion, I think this is the same for us with the invitation game that we're involved with. And of course, in both circumstances, it's certainly not a game. It's a very serious consideration, and one that I think requires us to break the code and the enigma of inviting. So, before we continue any further, I thought it is really important just to stop and to think about what success is when it comes to inviting. David's often talked about how success is in the invitation, and I agree with that. If people say yes, that's fantastic, that's really exciting. If people say no, then that's absolutely fine. But I'd like to add to what I think success means. And I think success is not just about inviting to church. It's about inviting people into our lives. First and foremost, it's about sharing our lives with friends, with family, with work colleagues, with those around us. And it's in doing that, that surely if people value us and care for us, they want to know about every aspect of our lives. And I think it's incumbent on us to share and invite people into every aspect of our lives. And that for many of us here includes our faith and church. So I think it's just a natural extension of inviting people into our lives, to invite them to church, to see what it is that is so important to us and what makes us tick, as well as getting to see God at work. Now, I'm talking this morning to those of us who find this hard. If you find it easy, fantastic. If you want to get a coffee, go across the street, that's fine. But for those of you who find this hard, this is for you this morning. Over the course of the morning, I want to begin to break the code of inviting, break that enigma. And I think the enigma boils down to fear. There's lots and lots of things that I think we fear about when it comes to inviting people to church. Now, I was going to try and tackle two fears, but I quickly realized that I could only manage to tackle just one fear this morning. So I'm going to look at the fear of what people think if they come to our church, what would they think about it? Now, for me, over the years, I think I've probably sort of started to find this harder rather than easier. There was a time when I think I would talk to anyone about Christianity, about church, about anything really, medicine, whatever. Whoever would listen, I would talk. And I would quite happily invite people to church. But I think just over the years, the creep of life kicks in and you become more self-conscious. I forget to invite. I get busy, lots of stuff taking over. And I think more than anything else, just becoming more self-conscious of my faith, of Christianity, and of church. So I'd love to encourage all of us this morning, and that's me included, that I think that we can be more confident and courageous as we invite to church. That's more confident of the God who is with us and for us as we invite, as well as more confident of the church that we're inviting to. So, before we start, let's pray. Father, we thank you that despite all the changes and uncertainties in this world, we can trust in your constant and unchanging nature. Would you help us, Father, as a church, to become an even more welcoming and inviting church? No matter who we are, everyone can find a place to be invited to in this community. So help us, Lord, to have the courage and confidence, despite all our fears, and invite. Amen. Now, I don't know where the welcome team are, but if you don't have a Bible, we're going to be looking at the Bible in a second. So if you don't have one, stick up your hand and the welcome team will come around and give you a Bible. If you don't have one at all, then please feel free to take it home and use it. If you do, just borrow it for this morning. Now, we're going to, as we think about the enigma, sort of breaking that enigma, breaking the code of inviting, I'd like to turn our minds to a different church at a different point in history. So if you turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 48. Acts, if you don't know, can be found near the end of the Bible. So if you find Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then Acts. And Acts chapter 2 is near the start. So Acts is all about the recounting of the events of the early church in its infancy. And we pick up the story just after Pentecost. Pentecost is the time when God pours out his Holy Spirit on the disciples, and it's at that point that he then releases them to start what we know as the early church. I'd like us to, as we read this story, to imagine what it must have been like to be a part of this community. What must have been going through their minds? How would they be feeling? And on the subjects of this morning, what would it be like to invite to this church that we're reading about? So, Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 48. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I've read this passage many times. I absolutely love it. I can't imagine the excitement, the buzz of being a part of this community, the devouring of wise teaching, the community, everyone together, praying, helping, eating together, praising, the commonality of purpose and feeling. As well as that, remembering what Jesus had done by the breaking of bread and drinking wine, remembering for them that Jesus had actually just died, but hadn't just died, he'd also risen back to life, paving the way, creating the opportunity of having an everlasting relationship with God. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. Wow. That's not all. What about all the awe-inspiring signs and wonders that they talked about? The compassion, the belonging. I tell you what, if this church was a drug, I think I'd be addicted. But the thing about this church, the thing about healthy churches, is that they're even better than drugs. Because the longer you keep invested, the better your life gets. The more whole you become, the more it adds value to you and to those around you. Would we not want to give everyone the opportunity to be a part of a community like this? Now, let's fast forward 2,000 years and to Leeds in the 21st century. So what about for us here? Well, we haven't just seen Jesus do amazing miracles. We haven't just witnessed Pentecost. But we do have our own church community here at Leeds Vineyard. Okay, we're not the first ever church like the early church in Acts. We're not even the first vineyard church in the UK. We're not even the first church in Leeds. But I think when you look at Acts chapter 2, I think we do a lot of what the early church did. If you look at the passage again, we meet regularly. We pray for and help each other. We share meals together. We take communion. And on the backdrop of all of that, we get to share our lives with each other and see God at work in us and in those around us. I think that's exciting. Now, that's just my opinion. So what I did was I decided that you probably wouldn't just want to hear my opinion about our church. So I asked a few other people to share their views about what they thought of our church. For those who know me, in true fashion, I asked them what they thought our strengths, our weaknesses, the opportunities and the threats of inviting to our church were. Now, I got quite a few responses, which is fantastic. I don't have time to read out all the responses this morning, so I've just picked out some snippets of what people fed back to me. But you'll see some of the responses on the slide behind me. So, thinking about our strengths, what did people think our strengths were as a church? So, some of the comments that I got were, we're very welcoming, great kids' work, God present and at work among us. The welcome team are amazing. Go welcome team. Love is an action, not just a word. Good music, worship, culturally relevant, non-threatening. And finally, a sense of community and fun people there. So what about our weaknesses? Well, there's a couple of people who mentioned the traditional church environment of the Methodist church perhaps not being so easy for people to invite to, and maybe it being a little bit of a barrier. It feeling a little bit cliquey. People often sitting in the same place. Maybe you don't have to move right now, but if that's you, maybe in the coming weeks to think about sitting in different places. Just a thought. A fear of what the sermon might be about. Well, hopefully you're not too afraid this morning. I'm not going to say anything too crazy. And finally, will other people talk to them if I'm sat there? So what about the opportunities of inviting someone to church? So people said they'll hear about Jesus, see someone being prayed for in a natural, no-hype way, and maybe someone is healed. They have a great opportunity to experience God's presence. Friendship and support from others. To know and be known just where you are now. And know people want to genuinely support and help you grow in faith. We offer lots of groups to get involved in. Someone else said they're presented with a genuine, heartfelt expression of a reasonable faith. They get to hear stories about what God is doing today. And finally, they feel a part of community. They get to meet with God and experience his love and acceptance through his people. So what about threats? So someone said, rightly, after coming to church, they might dislike and reject it. And from an act of invitation in the hope of getting closer to God, they end up further away. They might feel welcomed in our church, but not necessarily included in the community. Someone thought it just in terms of the how we communicate, the words that we use. It could all appear cliquey and middle class. It could just all seem very strange. I'm sure I feel like that sometimes. And finally, they might not understand parts of the sermon and not know where to go with their questions or response. I like that comment. If you do have any questions or concerns, or you don't know about something and you want to chat, then I am more than happy to chat. Just come and find me afterwards and we'll have a conversation. I'd love to be able to pray for you. And I think the same can be said for anyone who comes and stands here and gives a talk. If you are not sure about something and you want to talk, then we're always more than happy to talk to you. Now, I had a few responses. If you didn't respond and you would like to, then I would absolutely love to hear from you. So I'm going to try and put the link to the form on the blog, on one of David's next blogs. So if you want to fill that out, then I'd absolutely love to hear from you. So I really hope from what I've described and from some of the answers that you can hear there, that I think that we can be confident. We can take courage from the church that we're a part of. We can be confident when we're inviting. We can be confident in the God who is with us and for us as we invite. And we can be confident in the church that we're inviting to. Like the disciples in the early church, we get to be a part of a healthy, vibrant, loving community that helps people to meet with God. And I think that's something to be excited about. That's something to shout about. That's something to tell people about. Now, to finish, I'd like to invite my friend Annette to come up and join me. And I'll just get you a microphone. There we go, all yours. So Annette has very kindly agreed to share some of her story with us. And in particular, looking at some of your experience of being invited and inviting. So, do you want to tell us a bit about yourself?
Yeah, so my name's Annette, and I'm Barney's mum, and I work at a hospice.
Fantastic. And do you want to tell us a bit about your story before coming to church?
Yeah, I wasn't brought up in a Christian family, but I did go to a CV primary school. I was invited to attend an Alpha course after having a really, really tough time at home. I got married at 25 and found out a couple of years later that my husband had been having an affair, and he left me. At the same time, my dad was dying of cancer, and at the same time, I'd started a new job, and the same time, my dog died. So I had 6 months of real turmoil in my life and was just completely and utterly upside down. And I reacted by rebelling and going partying, really, and just doing lots of things I really shouldn't have been doing for a couple of years. And my friend Jane, who I was working with at the time, invited me to an Alpha course. She saw that I was really distressed and really angry and really struggling, and thought it was a thing that might help me. So I went along to the Alpha course and really, really enjoyed it, but felt completely, utterly overwhelmed and was crying at every single session that we went to. I particularly enjoyed the one about forgiveness, and it really made a difference in my life in terms of going to see my ex-husband and forgiving him for what he did to me, and really released a lot of the anger that I was holding at the time. Following the Alpha course, I did the Beta course, but then drifted away and stopped coming to church after that.
Yeah. And then what happened after that then?
Jane kept inviting me, and she invited me every weekend, and she invited me to church things, and occasionally I'd come, but then I was overwhelmed, and I just kept crying every time I came, so it scared me. So I came occasionally, and then stopped coming, and then I came, and then I stopped.
So how long, because obviously you're here now, how long was it between when you got first invited and when you finally ended up coming regularly?
Probably about 10 years. So I was drifting in and out for about 10 years, and Jane never stopped inviting me in all that time.
Persistent.
She was really persistent, yeah, and I'm so glad that she was.
And do you regret coming along?
Not in the slightest, no. Life isn't easy, and, you know, things happen on a weekly basis, monthly basis, yearly basis, which are a struggle. And I can't get through any of that without all my church family and without Jesus in my life. So the fact that she persisted and I came made a massive difference to my life. And I'll forever be thankful to her for that.
Yeah. So do you invite yourself?
I do. I invite all the time. A lot of people I invite say no. A lot of people make excuses because they don't want to say no, so they're busy. I invited 20 people to the hygge. Two came. So there was 18 rejections, but the two that came, I really enjoyed it and loved
Fantastic.
It. I've had friends that have come to church. But by far the majority say no to me, but the ones that do come, it makes a big difference to them. One of my friends he invited didn't come to church here, but she did go to a church in Wigan, and she's given her life over to Jesus.
Fantastic. So finally, what would you say to people like me, unsure about inviting?
Just go for it. The worst that can happen is they're going to say no. You know, I always say people can't say no unless you invite them. So you've got to invite them first before you can get a rejection. And actually, they might surprise you and say yes and come along and really enjoy it.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Round of applause for Annette. Do you want to stay up here? Thank you so much. So as we finish, let's continue to share our lives. Invite people into our lives. And as we do so, invite them into the areas of our lives that are so important to us, our faith and our church. Have the courage and confidence as we go out and invite that God is with us and that we've got a great church that we're inviting to. Do you want to stand? So I'd like to invite my good friends on the Servant Leadership School to come up, whoever is here. I don't know how many have managed to make it this morning, but they've kindly agreed to come up and to pray with us and to share any words or pictures that they've had this morning. So we believe that God is still talking today, and he talks in a whole variety of different ways, through the Bible, through a quiet voice, a nudge. He sometimes gives words or pictures to people for other people. So I've asked these guys to think and pray this morning if there's anything that they have for people here this morning. So anyone want to kick us off? Go for it, Anna.
Okay, it's a bit random. It's going back to a children's story called We're Going on a Bear Hunt. For those of you who don't know the story, a group of children are going on a bear hunt, and it's a beautiful day and they're not scared, and then they suddenly get to mud or the grass or the snowstorm or whatever it is, and they can't go over it and they can't go under it, and they've got to go through it, and they do it. And I just feel that God wants to speak to a few different people, that some people have started on this journey and they just feel like they've hit that mud or the snowstorm or whatever it is, and actually they feel like they can't go through it. But God says, yes, you can, because I'm with you. And don't try and kind of get out of it. Just go through it, and I'm with you, and I'm not going to leave you, and I will be with you every step of the way. For some people, they've got through the mud, and actually they've then hit the grass. And they're kind of just getting really frustrated and kind of, I can't do this anymore, God. Why is it something else? Well, I've just got through one thing. Why is it something else? And God wants to say, you can do it because I'm with you. And then finally, at the end of the story, the children all run back and hide under the cover because they get scared because they meet the bear and going, oh, we're not going on a bear hunt again. And God wants to say, yes, you are. And he wants to throw the covers off some people today and just kind of go, there you go, you can do it. And he wants you to stand there and say, what a beautiful day. I am not scared. I can do it. And it might be things in your life. It might be the invitation thing. It might be stepping out in faith. But he wants to throw the covers off and say, yes, you can do it.
Well, perhaps in a similar vein, I was reminded about once I was trying to climb a high mountain with some friends actually in Nepal, and we'd been walking for a week and we hadn't seen any of the mountains, and we'd been working hard, and some of my friends had got altitude sickness and actually vomiting and had to go back down and spend a day lower down. Anyway, and it was quite unrewarding because we were just tramping. But then one day, after about a week, the clouds, because we've been surrounded in clouds all the time, the clouds lifted. We got up really early and the clouds were high, and we could see these mountains, which are like the highest mountains in the world, and the view was amazing. And so for a whole week, we'd been surrounded by these beautiful mountains and we just hadn't seen them at all. And I think sometimes in my sort of faith journey, and maybe there's other people who resonate with this, that... you know, you're just feeling like it's hard work and there's nothing, there's no payoff, there's no reward, what's going on? But actually, you're surrounded by these beautiful mountains all the time. God is there, whether you see him or not. And, you know, I just say we persist, we keep going, and ask God to give you a glimpse. Let the clouds lift for a moment. And sometimes, you know, God will just do that for you. Just in your heart, he'll touch you and you'll understand that you're loved, and you'll understand that you are special in his sight and he's with you. So if you're feeling like that, then do ask God and let maybe get up early. That's what we did to see the mountains. Get up early and ask God to show you how you really are and what your life really is like.
Part of my journey that I didn't mention there was when things were really tough for me, I actually ran away and had a year out on a desert island on my own with just a few people. And it really helped me to declutter my life and completely and utterly take things out of the equation that were material and friends. And I think there's a lot of people here that perhaps have got too much clutter in their lives or in their hearts and perhaps just need to declutter and just listen to God. And take things that really don't matter out of the equation.
Fantastic. Bear hunts, mountains, desert islands. What have you got, Frankie?
Maybe not as crazy. This morning, I came across this verse in Joshua 1:9. It's really powerful. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now, this is the Lord speaking to Joshua, and one might think, oh, it's just Joshua. But all the promises of God have their yes in Jesus. So this applies to every one of us. If you're terrified, don't be terrified. The beginning of the verse is, have I not commanded you? Do not be terrified. Do not be dismayed. Be courageous. Be strong, because the Lord, your God, is with you. What can happen to you? If your God is with you, who can stand against you?
I thought I'd just share something that Matt challenged me on today, and maybe some of you felt the same. I think... if we believe God to be who he is and that he never changes and he's so amazing and great and powerful, I'm someone who likes to keep things within my control, and to invite someone, their response is definitely not in my control. Actually, I really relate to what Frankie was just saying about it being terrifying. So I can't relate to that. Can really relate to that. But actually, I think if God is who we say He is, then letting go of that need of control and giving Him the opportunity to perform miracles with people, to get a yes, or even if it's a no, that He'll turn a tough situation into a good situation. And I think it was a real challenge for me this morning of actually, if you believe God is who you believe He is, then actually take a step out and trust Him with the invitations.
Brilliant. Right, got a final one.
I had a picture of someone trying to apply red lipstick, and it's just not going well, and it keeps smudging, and you keep trying to do it, and I can just feel that you're really frustrated. And so if that's you, then we'd love to pray for you. And also, I feel like someone feels really abandoned and forsaken, and God just wants to speak into that and speak His truth into that and say that that's not true. Yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you, Sasha. That's brilliant. Loads of words there. So if there's anything that resonates there with you, then please, in a moment, do feel free to come forward and we'd love to pray for you. So that's just to pray to finish. And then if you have any children, please go and get them. And if you want to be prayed for, please come to the front. So Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you are with us, that you're speaking to us, and that you can give us the courage and confidence to go out and to share our lives with others. Would you bless this week, be with us, and give us all that we need. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you so much for coming this morning. We've formally finished, so if you need to get your children, go and get them. If you want to be prayed for, please come to the front now.